Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, 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 everybody. Don't mind me, I'm fixing my headset over here. Welcome to Videoland Express. I'm Blog Talk Radio, the radio show hosted by you, host by Frankie B. Frankie Sign, or just good old plain Frankie. Hello, everybody. Today, we are talking strictly about Star Wars. And I usually make announcements. I'm going to skip all that. The only thing I'm going to say is I put the address on Videoland Express and Blog Talk Radio. On that page itself, on Blog Talk Radio, it has a description of what I talk about, and I put up our address of our blog. And basically, that is videolandexpress.blogspot.com. If you have a hard time finding that, or go to our website, videolandexpress.com, which I updated. Or just Google everything. Just put Videoland Express, Google it, and you'll find all the projects I'm working on. The only thing I'm going to mention is... on Monday, I put up on the blog, I put up a picture of Han Solo. I was playing Han Solo with Rey. You know that scene when they're standing in front of the Falcon and Harrison Ford, Han Solo, gives her a gun and says, you know how to use this gun? Well, the picture, somebody took a picture, either Hollywood Reporter or Variety, and they took away the gun and they put an Oscar and Han Solo's hand there. So she's looking at the Oscar. If you know, if you've seen the movie, of course you have. That's why you listen to the show. There will be spoilers. But anyway, she's look, instead of looking at the gun, she's looking at the Oscar. Anyway, I put that on Monday. And today I put up a close-up of BB-8 and Rey. And it's, that's going down as like the two favorites, at least for me it is. I mean, she's adorable, she's cute, and she's smart, she's intelligent, and she's a Jedi. Okay, I don't think she needs much training for Luke. And then, of course, BB-8. And I brought one of those little pop-up vinyls. They're pretty cool, like 10, 12 bucks. And I got one when I was back up in the city. I said, you know, a lot of you know I'm over here down in Puerto Rico with family. But anyway, I bought about 2 months before it even came out, I bought a BB-8. So that's part of my collection up in the studio up there in New York City. And he was adorable. Anyway, so on Monday's blog, I put... I'm looking at it right now. Don't mind me if I pause for a second. I put up the last interview with Mark Hamill I did back in 1992. He did he was doing promotion for Wing Commander on the PC. Wing Commander number 4. He was promoting that. He was trying to push his film, The Black Pearl. Because he wrote the script and it came out as a comic book, but he was trying to make it into a movie. He wanted to direct it, and he never got the chance to do that. So that's an old archive. And yes, I'm wearing a real dumb punk bitch haircut. I was in a punk band at the time. People ask me, what's happening with the music? There's a lot more announcements to be made on the next show, plus a lot of movie reviews, like I promised. Tonight, just Force Awakens. I just wanted to let you know about that interview. That's back in 1992. So I posted all that on Monday. And then what I did was I extended Monday's blog into Tuesday. And so if you tune in, you will see Wednesday's blog today. And the main reason I did that because something really freaky happened. First of all, Monday's box office wasn't announced till Tuesday, really late Tuesday. They got all the numbers in, and as it turned out, it broke Spider-Man's record. Spider-Man number 2, the biggest money maker, about $40 million, and it beat the record. Unbelievable. What was it? The Spider-Man 2 for the most money for that particular one day, it broke the record. This thing is breaking records all the way. So far, nothing has come in for Tuesday. It'll probably be announced tomorrow on Thursday, just before, you know, Christmas Eve. But anyway, what happened was the Critics' Choice Awards. We're going to be talking more about the award show. Critics' Choice Awards, AFI, the American Film Institute, which I mentioned in the last show, they announced that Movies of the Year, that they put that Star Wars along with Mad Max, The Martian, et cetera. And apparently the Critics' Choice Awards went back because Disney did not put a screen ahead of time. somehow, if I saw the film, the Critics' Choice Awards, the people on that panel did not get a chance to see a preview of it. And over the weekend, they got a chance to do a preview. They all voted the film back in the top 10 list. Okay, I'm going to go over that in a second. So today's title is The Force is with the Critics' Choice Awards. So that was, this thing is just taking over awards. As a matter of fact, Monday I put up a link of Variety magazine. It had a breakdown of all the records it has broken over the weekend, and it's going to break more records. At this point, this particular point is only a matter of what China's going to do. It opened mostly worldwide, only one or two, I think India, Greece, some other place, and then China. China's going to be the last stop January 9th. Now, remember I said this a couple of shows before. If Jurassic World, I'm going to say J-World for now on, because every time I say Jurassic, I feel like it's Jurassic Park. It's an old habit of mine. Sorry about that. So I'm going to say J-World from now on. J-World hit number 3. It was only $6 million away to take out Titanic in the box office, domestically, U.S. And I still needed like another couple hundred to take out Avatar. I don't think that's going to be a problem. It looks like it's going to clinch all-time U.S. Now, it was still about $100 million away to take out Titanic internationally, J-World to take out Titanic, okay? And then it needed like another $500 million to take out Avatar. That's the one everybody's looking at. So we know it's going to be number one all time over here. We know it's going to take out J-World internationally. Probably it's going to take out Titanic, but will it take out Avatar as an all time? And the problem is, the Star Wars movies never really did that good in China. Are they going to have a change of heart? China is going to be the clincher that's going to take out Avatar. Well, that's enough for box office. I'm not going to be talking anymore about box office until 3 weekends. Over here, we celebrate Christmas, New Year's, and Three Kings. Basically, Three Kings is another Christmas for the kiddies. They get presents on Christmas, and they get presents on Three Kings. So the next 3 weekends is going to be Christmas this weekend, next weekend will be New Year's, and the next weekend after that will be Three Kings, and that's when the movie's going to open in China, January 9th, that weekend of Three Kings. So that weekend we're going to be talking about box office. As everything else, as far as the box office, whoever decides to open all these movies this weekend, it's, forget it. You know what, because I want to be talking more about Star Wars, let me do this right now. I was going to save this at the end of the show. Because I'm going to continue more with Star Wars in the next episode. Consider this one, chapter one, or part one, Star Wars The Force Awakens, the big review, and that will be part two. Be next weekend, next Wednesday before New Year's. And I'm going to continue with more plot points about the film. Let me just do this box office real quick this weekend, okay? What's opening? Joy, about the girl who invented Miracle Map. I got an advanced screening. Sucked. If they had a documentary on the Biography Channel, see that. Concussion with Will Smith. He was really, really good. If he gets a nomination for Best Actor, no problem with me. He was really good. Again, it plays more like a TV drama. Same thing like Joy. It said Joy was no joy. It was boring. David Russell, it started like comedy. The guy said it was a serious drama. His direction was all over the place. Jay Leno was good, but eh. Wait for TV. Two for Tuesday, maybe on Netflix. Maybe. Redbox. I will not see it again. I don't care if there's a, you know me, guys. Will you see it again? Maybe if the director's commentary and you get it for Redbox for a dollar? Sometimes they have like $2-$4 specials sooner. No. Okay. Concussion. Would I see it again if I had director's commentary? But he was really good. So you want to see Will Smith doing a Nigerian African accent? Yeah, he pulls it off, though. Really good. And a good supporting cast. Stephen Moway. He was the Vampire Bill in True Blood. He's in here. Avery Brooks. He played the father. He used to be a comedian. Now he's a straight actor. He played the father in Finding Nemo. He's the guy who helps Will Smith out a lot. And, of course, Alec Baldwin. Some people said, oh, his southern accent goes in and out. Doesn't matter. I thought he was really good. Concussion. For me, baseball movie. Let's talk about sports real quick. My favorite football movie of all time is Longest Yard. Most sports movies do not translate good. this was more of a drama about him trying finding out how the football players get concussions. Okay, baseball. Field of Dreams, it banged the drum slowly. Talk about Robert De Niro, who was in Joy. He was a waste of time. Banged the drum slowly. He was really good, based on the true story of the Yankees or Field of Dreams. Sports movies usually don't good, but I gotta admit, I really got into Concussion. Okay, 3 out of 5. The other two, real quick. Hateful Eight is only coming in a couple movies. Revenant, only a couple movies. Revenant is the big movie to see. It's not opening a big time, but if it's opening in your city, L.A., New York, that's the one that's better than Hateful Eight. I would have to say apples and oranges, okay, on both movies. Revenant is more visual. The Hateful Eight is more for the ears, more audio, because, you know, Tarantino is, and his monologues, for crying out loud. But it was really good. And, you know, trivia, Kurt Russell was going to be in Fast and the Furious number 8. Kurt Russell, I mentioned him before. What you call it? He did the movie called The Thing, one of my favorite all-time sci-fi horror films, okay? And that movie was based on that, and Reservoir Dogs, excuse me. So there's a lot of, as a matter of fact, Tarantino did a screening on that for the cast for Hateful Eight, and you get the feel of it, believe it or not, and some of the music, believe it or not, and Ennio Morricone, the Italian composer. Some of the music that's in Hateful Eight came from The Thing. He wrote a lot of extra music that was not used. He used it for The Hateful Eight, and you can recognize the bit. So any fans out there for The Thing with Kurt Russell? Yes. I'm a huge fan. Got the DVD, Blu-ray. I'm waiting for the 4K version. But anyway, definitely recommend Hateful Eight. Revenant is up to you. They're both good. Apples and oranges. Each movie should have been cut 15 minutes. That's my only beef with that. 4 out of 5. Okay. The other one, what's the other one that came out? Daddy's Home, Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. The last movie, The Good Cop, sucked. I'm staying away from this one. Okay, that's enough for that. So what should you see this weekend? Simple as that. I get some more reviews. That'll be the next show. What should you see? Go see Star Wars again. That's all I can say, okay? Now, as far as the Critics' Choice Awards, let's go through that real quick, and then we're going to go into Star Wars. Like I said, it'll be part one, part two. Anyway, real quick, Critics' Choice Awards, and this is pretty much AFI, and this is pretty much, was it the Golden Globes? Golden Globes only chose 5, okay? But they also included these films, and Critics' Choice Awards, let me say that list. The other list I'll say for next week, okay? We're talking more about the Oscars and all that the next week and the week after that before the award shows go on. But anyway, the Critics' Choice Award put The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn and Carol. I saw both boring. Sorry. Okay. 2 out of 5 for both. These two movies should have been for TV, Lifetime Channel. Good. Got that out of the way. Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, Revenant, Room. I didn't see that one. That's depressing. Two people kidnapped. I don't know if I want to spend 2 hours doing that. Spotlight, supposed to be with Michael Keaton, the breakout role again for him. And, of course, The Big Short. Big Short is the one about Wall Street. It's supposed to be drama and comedy. Those two kind of go hand in hand. They're both going to get nominated for screenwriting. Okay? The one they put on this top 10 list, Sicario. Overrated. No best picture, no best act. No, nada. Nada. Okay? Zero. Sicario, it was okay. 2 for Tuesday, you got nothing else playing on Redbox, you got nothing else playing on Netflix. Overrated film of the year. That's the one they should take out and put Star Wars. But instead of 10 nominations, they bumped the list and they're going to make it 11 nominations. The first time they ever did Critics' Choice Awards. Now, Frank, what do you think about Star Wars? Well, screw all this other bucket and all this other crap. Do you think it deserves to be a top 10? The reason I'm saying this, we're going to wait if it's going to take out for Avatar. We're going to wait if it's going to get nominated for the Oscar for Best Picture. And it should. Now, if you saw my blog, you're going to go, wait a second, Frank. You had some really picky, well, call me an old fart, okay? There's a T-shirt out there called I Was There. It's a great T-shirt saying I Was There May 1977. I am very old school. I saw Star Wars before it was called The New Hope. George Lucas was not planning to do any sequels because he didn't have the money. He's lucky he got 20th Century Fox. Everybody knows that story. Alan Ladd Jr., his father was an actor. He played the cowboy, okay, and then back in the 20s and 30s and all these, movies. and the silent screen, and then westerns were very big back then. And his father, Alan Ladd, was a cowboy. Flash forward, Alan Ladd Jr. grew up in a movie studio set. So Lucas gave Alan Ladd Jr. and 20th Century Fox the script, and he said, oh, I recognize this script. It's cowboys and Indians and out of space. Ka-ching, got it. Fast forward. So I saw back in 1977 when I was a wee high little youngster. But anyway, I was a young manga, so what can I tell you? But anyway, the way I look at Force Awakens, okay, it is no Star Wars, it is no Empire Strikes Back. Ooh. But it's definitely no Phantom Menace trilogy. This is kind of like the bastard child, because what happened with J.J. Abrams, he had to please the old fans, which he did. And then at the same token, he had to move the movie forward. And this was a setup for the second and third part. So he was stuck in the middle with this. I consider this not really a Star Wars movie. That's why I kind of nitpick it. I consider this a solo movie about Han Solo. This is his journey, not really hers. Because it kind of wraps up his journey. Okay, him and Leia finally got hooked up. They had a kid. Things went wrong. Luke disappeared. The son turned out to be a nasty, dark side, whatever. And Han Solo pays the price. Okay? I knew about... I was going to say something else. Well, let me see. I knew about the whole plot, basically. Okay, and that's why I was a little bit nitpicking, you know. That little thing, that little cameo, Luke Skywalker, kind of pissed me off. Is that, you know, and the thing that pissed me off is being the big Star Wars fan. Of course, I do like Return of the Jedi, even with the Ewoks. Is the thing was that it was always about the trilogy. Captain Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, the three guys in Star Trek. The trio that you like to see them in action. Well, this was the same way. Han Solo, Leia, and Luke. Of course, Han Solo had Chewbacca, they had C-3PO, they had R2-D2 and all that. Yeah, okay. But basically, it was about them three, okay? And we didn't get that. And that kind of ticked me off because, again, I'm a hardcore fan from the original. So, I mean, I remember seeing an Astor Plaza. As a matter of fact, in Return of the Jedi, they had the big premiere. It was a Thursday night. I happened to be there, and I forgot all about it. My friend told me, hey, isn't the premiere tonight? 44th and Broadway, Astor Plaza. Anybody remember in New York City? And sure enough, who comes out of the limousine? It was Mark Hamill. Hey, Mark, good luck with the movie. Thank you. And, the red carpet and everything. I met Mark Hamill about two, three times. Okay, and the one time I was like, yeah, I interview him. But, again, I'm very old school, and that's why I kind of nitpicked this, and though I do love this movie, and it's up definitely up there with the original trilogy. It's up there, meaning that it's not where the minute trilogy is going to compare to this film, okay? So if I'm being picky, I'm being an old fart, so don't mind me. Now, again, I'm going to continue this. The plot points. Remember last show? I said that the thing... I know the butler did it. I knew all the plot points. How are they going to do it, though? Okay? And I went with Millie and family, my next-door neighbors. I took them to the movies. We went there, nice crowd. It was Saturday. As a matter of fact, I put a picture of me holding tickets in front of the posters at the movie theater. And when we went in there, she wanted to get a soda and popcorn. They brought a big bucket of popcorn and had Star Wars logo on it. I said, wow, in this theater? They usually they only reserve that for the big expensive theaters in New York City and L.A. This little theater is a family theater, okay, small, quaint, but we went to the big screen. It's multiplex. There's about six of them. You've seen the pictures on my blog. I post them. Anyway, so we were playing the number one theater, the big theater, but still they really don't go out of the way with promotional things like this year. So we had a big-ass bucket saying Star Wars, and she brought the daughter, Sora, that had the Star Wars logo, and you could buy a little figurine. Well, actually, you buy the soda, especially marked Star Wars soda, you get a little figurine. She put the Stormtrooper on top. I said, man, that's pretty cool for this. And the audience got into it. I figured, well, it's not going to be a New York crowd. It's going to be a Mother crowd. Then again, I go to the Regal Theater down by Wall Street area. Excuse me, Ground Zero. And that audience is always quiet. Okay. So I kind of looked out. This audience really got to it. And the reason I'm saying this, when Kylo Ren, the spoiled little Brad punk bitch who's got daddy issues. I did not like his character. When he took his mask off, and don't forget, there's a Puerto Rican crowd, an English crowd, too. The movie was English with us, the Spanish subtitles. He took off his mask, and somebody said, "Ay, mira, que feo." That's a girl who said that, okay? In translation, that man, how ugly. I thought he was totally miscast. Everybody said, "Now, oh, man, Adam Driver, he made such a great villain." He sucked. He was so miscast on that. I couldn't get into it. So when he, you know, when he knocked off Han Solo, I said, "That's it? By this punk? Are you kidding me?" That really pissed me off. First of all, the main problem I had with that is you don't know. They never met. We don't see the conflict. We see Darth Vader, the confrontation with Darth Vader and Luke, right? "No, I am your father." Aha. And then we continue that with Return of the Jedi. When he tells the Emperor, Luke tells the Emperor, I'm a Jedi just like my father before me and stuff like that. So we get to know them, the father-son conflict, okay? Especially Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Over here, they said, "Well, you had a son, and Luke trained him. He went to the dark side. Luke disappeared, and you refused to acknowledge it. You got to face your son, and you face your son, you get killed." Story over. I thought that was the weakest part of the movie. That could have been handled so much better. The other thing was Luke shows up in the last 2 minutes. What the hell is that about? You know, the poor thing, she's standing there. "Hello, I'm handing you my lightsaber. Will you go over here? I mean, I travel with a fog with Chewbacca in the middle of the friggin' ocean. You understand? Some dumb rock over here. I'm climbing over these 100 stairs over here, and you can come and get your lightsaber. I got to walk it over to you, hand it to you. Come on, give me a break here." You know what I'm saying? That's it. And he didn't say anything. That's another thing. And I said, remember the trailer? The Force is strong in the family. I have it. My father has it. And you have it. What happened to that? See? These are little things that I'm nitpicking. Want to be nitpicking? Okay. Maze. Lupita, she did the CG as Maze in charge of the cantina. Of course, we all know about the cantina again, another cantina scene, but that's okay. That's fun. That's always fun. That's another way to sell more action figures. But anyway, May said, "Oh, here's the lightsaber." And they asked her, "Where do you get it?" "Oh, that's for another time." Translation, "We're saving it for the sequel." C-3PO, "Oh, you might not recognize me because I got a red arm. But that's for another time." What are you putting this up for? You leave us hanging, okay? Why is Kylo Ren wearing a mask when he takes it? Apparently, he doesn't have asthma. He can breathe, okay? Okay? And the biggest problem, Lord Satanga, at the beginning, with Max von Sydow. Who is he? He's important because he has connection to Luke. But we don't know anything about this character at the beginning of the movie. I believe that's his name, Lord Satanga. Max von Sydow. He's probably best known as playing Lord Ming in Flash Gordon. Remember the trivia? George Lucas wanted to do Flash Gordon. He couldn't get the rights, so he made his own Flash Gordon, which was called Star Wars. And it's kind of interesting that had Max von Sydow for that movie, Flash Gordon. Anybody who's in, I mentioned Mark Wahlberg, Ted 2, the teddy bear, the cursing teddy bear, and Sam Jones, who played Flash Gordon. Yes. Okay. Now, like, I knew the plot points already, but it didn't bother me. It's the way they were executed. I said, that's the way Han Solo died? That's it? That was kind of lame. You should have fought him a big fight. Now, when Rey fights Kylo Ren in the forest when it's snow, I like the idea that Kylo Ren is using his power to get the lightsaber. And I'm going, dude, how about just walking over and picking it up since I'm being lazy and using the force? I thought that was kind of funny. But when she took the laser out of the snow. Gotcha. And she fights him out there. See, that part is really cool. The Falcon at the beginning, Rey is flying it. So cool. You thought Poe died? No, he showed up with the X-Wing fighters and trashed the place. Great. It should have been more action scenes. As again, being spoiled. That's me. Okay? The cameos. Okay? Simon Pegg. Remember he did a little thing in the internet? Simon Pegg shows up. And what is it? Simon Pegg... He played the junkyard guy. I said, okay, I just give you a couple of chingmans for this year, whatever they call. And turned out to be Simon Pegg. Of course, one of the funniest scenes in the movie. I said, you will untie me. You will take the chains off and you leave it open. Yes, I will untie you. And I will leave the chains open. And that's the stormtrooper. And you would leave the gun behind. Yes, and I would leave the gun. And the stormtrooper drops the gun. Everybody's cracking up in the audience. And of course, that was Daniel Craig, James Bond. Okay, my other favorite little scene. Ray, Finn. I thought he was great from Attack the Block. I'm going to save him for the next. I'm going to talk about the actors in the next episode. Ray, Finn, they were both fantastic. My favorite was BB-8. Okay. The 10-year-old in me with BB-8. She's saying, Ray said, okay, I need this part. I need that part. Which one? Which one? And then Finn goes to BB-8 and said, listen, I make a deal with you, and you tell me what the sound, the solar system or whatever, so I can tell her. Be on my side. He gives a thumbs up. Over the BB-8 comes up with like a little cigarette lighter, and he flicks his thumb. Everybody was cracking up. That was so cute and adorable. A lot of funny parts of this movie. A lot. I mean, Finn's character, he was really funny. I like the way they kept that. Same before. Now, some people say this is kind of a copy of the first one. Let's say there was a little bit of everything. Han Solo and a meeting Kylo Ren on the grid. That's Empire Strikes Back. Okay, there was a couple of things for Jedi. I'll put it in the next episode. But, for example, it's going to be J-World. Remember J-World? They had the SWAT team. And the T-Rex is camouflaged. And all of a sudden, they're looking up on the wall in the control center. And you hear boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. And when the T-Rex backs up, we go, bing, flap line, and sucking all them off. Wasn't that scene a ripoff of Aliens number 2? Get away from her, you bitch. Alien number 2 was Sigourney Weaver. Remember? The whole Marine Corps was underground, and they're getting wiped out one by one. So, J-Will ripped it off, okay? Okay. And as far as the beats, there were a lot of things. And this was J.J. was trying to do, repeat a lot of stuff from Empire Strikes Back, and especially Star Wars. As far as beats, look at Ridley Scott, Prometheus. Again, beat per beat. Two schmucks on the ground, and it's like a little river bend. They see a snake, oh, what a cute little thing, and the thing attaches itself to a snake and kills the guy. She's on the table trying to get a cesarean section. And the thing pops out of it, looks like a little baby actor. It was kind of cute, couldn't get into the scene. But, of course, that was a reference to the Alien number 1 when the thing pops out of the guy. So that movie was following beats. This thing was also following a lot of the beats of the first trilogy. Okay, you could tell J.J. was a fan. I was afraid because he did that movie Super 8, which I hated. I said, I hope it doesn't go there. And everybody's still, you know, flipping over Star Trek, Star Wars. Now, remember the last episode? I said I love Star Trek and Star Wars. Now, here's Simon Pegg, who's in Star Trek as Scotty, right? And he does a cameo over here, okay? And J.J. did Star Trek, and now he's doing Star Wars. Now, he did the first, what's it? I forget the name. Anyway, Into the Darkness, the last one, which was a remake of Khan. A lot of people were still 50-50 on that, you know. They kind of ripped up the story, okay? But he did a great job with the first one. We were Spock and the Romulans, okay? So in sci-fi, he was good. Saying, well, if he did that, he's in good hands. Of course, Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, it was all in good hands. So, and one last note, the guy who did the original beeps about R2-D2, that's the other thing. He shows up at the end. What the hell was that about? All of a sudden, he wakes up and they find out that maybe he looks around after all. Okay. The guy who did that, he did the beeps, and his name was Dennis Cullen. He was one of the main programmers of the ARP synthesizer back in the 70s. I'll be talking more about that because on the next episode, I'll be talking more about the music that I'm making. And that's one of the instruments. He just passed away. He was in charge of doing the voices, those bleep bleeps on the R2-D2, and he did that on the AMP ARP synthesizer. I forget to put that article up. I remind myself, put that article up. Okay, everybody, I took a lot about the plot points and everything because I screwed up with James Bond. I didn't talk enough about James Bond and what happened. The movie came out. It didn't do all that good. 800 million. Star Wars in 1 week is going to pass 800 million this weekend. James Bond barely made 800 million in 2 months. So what does that tell you? Okay. So as it turned out, well, I waited too long to talk about Spectre, and nobody cared. I waited too long. That's why I'm jumping on this one here. And the next episode, I'll be going more details about The Force Awakens. I'll be talking more about the actors, and I'll be talking about the awards. Sorry I feel rushed, but I have to squeeze about 1 hour information in a half hour. Everybody, thanks for tuning in, and next week, another show. Thank you.